What up, what up, what up? Y'all, like we always do at this time, what is up, what is up? Hey, y'all, it is Jamil Jude, your artistic director here at Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater Company. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for rocking with us. This is episode number 19. And then do it the other way, just in case we get messed up or whatever. Anyway, y'all, I'm so happy to be with you all today, man. Today is a really, really special episode for me because we are reflecting on 364 days as being your artistic director. It has been a crazy, crazy 364 days. I think I said 363 earlier, thinking that I had two more days until the 1st of August, but I forgot that it was a leap year this year, so I think I'm officially at 364. Hey, what's up, Ashanti? So I want to spend some time just talking about that, and I have on in the background, and I hope that you all can hear, but I have on Representative John Lewis's funeral today. So, of course, at the end, like we normally do, I will spend some time just talking about what is happening in our world around us. Becoming an artistic leader was nothing what they said it was going to be, especially under these unique circumstances. I think we can all say that, but I think I had to learn a lot. So today you all know me to be extremely alliterative. So I want to spend some time with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think what I'm calling 5 P's, and then I've doubled up on one of them that we'll talk about a little bit later. So we'll talk about that. I just want to give some advice to any future artistic leaders out there, and I just want to reflect on what this 364 is. Hey, Tanya, thank you very much for saying that. Thank you, Brittany. Thank you, Lakita, and everyone. Thank you guys so very much. And then I wouldn't be doing my job as an artistic leader if I didn't say thank you guys for anyone who donates during the podcast. That's been amazing. It's been really great to see your love and support. All right, let's get to it. The first thing, and I want to start with the thing that's most vulnerable, is professionalism. y'all, leadership looks a lot different when everyone is looking at you. It's one of the things that I was thinking about earlier today, that there was a level of professionalism that I had to rise to in the first couple of months of my time as artistic leader. The first one I want to talk specifically about, like a relationship, navigating relationships with a board of directors. So when I was associate artistic director, you know, I got an opportunity to meet a lot of our leaders in nonprofit structure, quick nonprofit theater lesson. Theaters are run by a board of directors. They set out the course for an organization and they hire staff to do the day-to-day. When I was associate artistic director, my relationship was really just like one, just kind of get to know people. And even after our announcement that I was going to become the artistic leader of the theater, I still had a very casual relationship because I wasn't directly reporting to the board, right? That was Kenny and that was Chandra. Well, when the tables turned and I now found myself to be the one directly reporting to the board, I recognized the ways in which that relationship just had to shift and change. And it wasn't so much as like, oh, I have to act differently around them now, but like, well, they are looking to me to be the day-to-day leader of the organization. And that comes with a level of responsibility and a professionalism that I need to rise up to. You know, simple things of like, just thinking about how I'm addressing a group. But to, you know, more esoteric or maybe harder to like, what is that relationship with communication? You know, am I texting, am I calling? How do I show up for our board president? What's that relationship that I need to have for that board president? So just, it's those things that, you know, maybe you learn in school, for those of you all who are studying arts administration or something like that, or maybe you hear anecdotally, but really an artistic director's relationship with their board and specifically their board chair is one that you have to continue to further develop. And I want to say that that's an area where I know I can do better. We have an amazing board chair, Johnita Du. Shout out to Johnita. She works over at Warner Media, CNN, and she's like a she's a really higher up in the diversity and inclusion over at CNN. So she's an amazing woman. But that's an area that I know I need to do a better job of. But just how do I, how can I have a foster a better relationship with the board? I also remember I was able to, you know, it may be a surprise to some of you all, but I have been accused of being an asshole at several points of my life. And there are times when I've leaned into it and kind of, you know, have like that whatever, like, not necessarily a bad boy, but like just being able to lean into being a smart ass. Well, that is not helpful as an artistic leader, right? Like, I mean, you don't want to change yourself up too much where you don't become yourself, but having to moderate that, I would say early on, like the first 30, 60 days, I didn't know how to turn that off. And I think that really upset a lot of members of the leadership team, of the board leadership team, because I had this vision and I really wanted to lean into that vision. And I forgot how to collaborate. In those moments, I forgot how to collaborate. And I really just wanna suggest to everyone that the professionalism that you show in those situations and how you want to go about navigating those relationships are extremely important, and to set that standard at the beginning, not to lean in with, you know, it's your way or the highway, especially in this type of situation where the board is there to set the vision and then to help lead the direction and maintain the public trust, that I could have done a better job of that. Another thing I want to talk about with the professionalism piece is that, like, I believe I spent so much of my early career being just like everybody else. You know, I remember vividly and have appreciated coming up through the ranks with other people, whether they be actors, whether they be fellow directors, arts administrators and stuff like that, that, you know, there is value in the artistic community. And there are ways in which you can move and navigate when you are a part of the artistic community. Even though you can take positions of leadership inside of that, there are still ways in which you have to be careful as a leader, that you may not have to be so careful as when you are part of the artistic community. Let me try to say that a different way. One of the things that I found was that I can't just be everybody's friend. That one of the realities of the position is that it is lonely. And that is a benefit of it, because there you can allow yourself to sit with your own thoughts and the ways in which you want to lead. But I think some of the negative effects of that are that, like, you can't kick it and kiki and hang out the way that you used to. And for me, like, in many ways, like, that changed overnight. Like, overnight, I went from being able to hang out and be just a normal member of the artistic community, looking to hold people responsible for the ways in which they interacted, to now being the one that had to be a representative of an organization and the one being held accountable for all their actions. And to that, you have to have a little bit of seclusion from a community so that you can do your best to be as responsible as possible. And I think that was something that I had to rise up to, and that I had to really understand what that meant. You know, I understood it a little bit as a director of the room, because you're the only director. But at the end of rehearsal, I could go back to kind of being like a normal person. In this role, like, I am not the same as a freelance director or an early career actor. In many ways, like, we are all people, but the level of responsibility that one has to a brand, to a theater community, to a specific, to the people that you are being placed in charge of, that relationship completely had to change. And I appreciated the opportunity to learn, but I'm also very thankful for the people who held me accountable to that. And I will say that there were a lot of people in our artistic community that came out and helped me see the changes that need to be made in my day-to-day interactions so that I can be the best representative of a theater community that they care for and a theater that they cared a lot for. So that, and those are those two big buckets that I'm thinking about. Just like, all right, in these 364 days, as I look back, professionalism, rising up to the standard of the role, are the things that I learned about how to be better in my relationships with my professional colleagues and peers, but then also how to uphold the standard of a brand and be a brand ambassador in that way, that was separate than any other role that I've had up until now. All right, so if you're still rocking with me, another thing I want to talk about a little bit is just programming. You know, that is what we do as artistic directors. And oftentimes I hear my colleagues talk about those who have been positioned just as long as me, shorter than me, and definitely much longer than I have, is that an artistic director's drive has to be about the art. Because at True Colors, we believe we thrive at the intersection of artistic excellence and civic engagement, we also have that desire to be a civically minded organization as well. So programming was always going to be the vehicle in which we carried our mission and vision. So in this time, I've really been reflecting on the value of programming and what that has meant to us as a theater this year. As you all know, and I've been saying it for now 19 episodes, but we have been celebrating Black women storytellers all year long here at True Colors, all season long. So we spent 52 weeks just really trying to identify who are those Black women, who are those women of color who have been doing amazing things in our community. Either they are artists themselves or they are advocates playing in that civic engagement space. And when you believe in an idea, the benefits are going to grow exponentially. I don't think when we started the 52 weeks of women, and someone on our staff said, you know, we should have a blog post, and every week we should identify a different local woman who is doing amazing work. I don't think we expected to see that level of growth that we did with the program. And that was really, really amazing. But it was a commitment to the programming that we're going to dedicate our season to Black women storytellers, that we had that type of offshoot. And the word She Griots and the way in which it kind of carried forward in our local arts community, and how we were able to have conversations about what that could look like. Specifically, our My Black is Beautiful conversation, where we were able to get a multi-generational panel of Black women talking about their experiences with colorism and beauty standards, understanding themselves through that. It was that dedication to the programming, but also listening to my staff when they have great ideas and setting that vision and then allowing space and opportunity for that to come through. I think that Schoolgirls to this day stands as one of the most exciting projects that I was able ever to be a part of, because it felt like we had identified a show that spoke to our local community and did the work that we wanted to do. The fact that we were able to put Jocelyn Bio, in the true sense of it, an African American writer with Tinashe Kajese Bolden, born in Africa, Zimbabwe to be specific, having her artistic career here in America, to be able to pair the two of them together to bring this story set in Ghana to life, meant a lot to me, and it meant a lot to our work. That meant that we had a programming focus that was going to serve us throughout this year, and that we continue to just go back to it and go back to it and go back to it. So for those of you all out there who are aspiring artistic leaders, guys, believe in your programming. Believe in what you're hearing from the community, make sure you're listening, make sure you're always listening to the good ideas of where they come from, and then just try to frame up all of the work of the organization around that programming. Everything that we tried to do at True Colors last year was around She Griots, was around trying to give voice to Black women storytellers and how do we lift them up. I've said it and I've lamented a couple different times just how excited we were about Marie and Rosetta. I have yet to tweet out the picture, but we held a production meeting again last week as we're just kind of getting excited about the possibility of returning to the theater whenever we can. But we wanted to convene those artists again, and it was just so amazing to see this screen of Black women creatives, the lighting designer, prop designer, set designer, all the Black women who were involved in this project. Just as a reminder, Marie and Rosetta will be an all Black woman cast, all Black woman musician, all Black woman creative team. And it was just, again, one of the things that I'm learning here is that when you set out a programmatic vision at the beginning and then you can get everyone on page, that it pays off in those amazing ways. And seeing that design team in that design meeting was such an amazing payoff, because, you know, the data shows us that only 4% of plays on American theater stages are written by Black women. A smaller percentage of that are directed by Black women. And we can imagine that an even smaller percentage of that features all Black women in design and creative teams. So the fact that we were able to create that here at True Colors meant a lot. And I'm thankful for having a staff that committed to that vision and that programmatic slant that we could achieve what we were able to achieve. All right, y'all, if you're just tuning in, this is the True Colors Podcast, episode 19, almost at 20. Next week will be 20. I'm your artistic director, Jamil Jude, and I'm just spending some time talking about the first 364 days of my stint as artistic director here, and sharing some things that I've learned for any future leaders out there to pick up, and hopefully that your 364 days, first 364, aren't as crazy as mine have been. But also spending some time just to reposition and rethink how we want to move forward as we get there. I want to give a special shout out to Joe from the He Flow. Joe from the Flow, shout out to you, Joe, and thank you for your donation to True Colors. I really do appreciate that. All right, here we are. Planning. I want to talk a little bit about planning, man, because that's been an amazing lesson on like what happens when you set out a plan and then people buy into it. It's tied to programming a little bit, but the thing I want to talk about was the new Play Lab. When it was announced that I was going to assume the artistic director position, so that announcement came somewhere in September of 2018. I see you, Joe. Thank you for allowing me to butcher up your name, so I appreciate you put your handle. So I was announced like September 2018. My director of development, Letitia Ellerson, shout out to Letitia, one of the best development directors in the game. She asked me, like, hey, I need you to write out some of the things that you are interested in doing in your first 3 years or so. And, you know, I think at that time, like, the world is big and you just kind of just start writing and you're thinking or whatever. But, like, I don't know that I hadn't been probed by Letitia, and then definitely Chandra Stevens Albright, my managing director, to sit down and write it out. That's not how I work. That's not how I operate as a person. Like, even though I'm a super Virgo, like, I have these plans going on in my brain and I'm trying to achieve them in my brain, but I'm not really the best at writing them down and sharing them with people. But when I wrote down the plan, and I was able to share it with the staff, I was amazed at how those initial scribblings or those initial like Google Doc sheets started to come to life. And something that, you know, we wrote in November of 2018 for the new Play Lab is now being funded in a really powerful way by several of these foundations in town. And that's just, as I'm sitting here now, I'm just thinking about, man, like how beautiful was it that you wrote it down as a plan, got other people to see it, they buy into it, and then later it can come to be something that supports the development of writers of the African diaspora, and that's something that True Colors can now hang its hat on as we move forward. I'm looking forward to, I started writing more plans and things like that, and I'm really excited about what that's going to look like now that I've had the evidence that this works. And I don't know why it took me so long. Again, you know, you live and you learn. But I'm really excited to see what this now leads to. the fact that I'm being intentional about planning, writing it down, sharing it, what benefit can we see a little bit later. In this world of COVID, one has a plan, right? Like there's that old saying, right? Like you show the universe a plan and the universe will laugh right back at you. I'm pretty sure I messed that up, but you guys know what I'm saying. Yeah, we had a plan for this year, right? Like we talked about that programming, we talked about that plan, we talked about all of the stuff that we wanted to do, and then we got smacked in the mouth with COVID. But not just COVID, there were other things that happened throughout the year that I didn't expect, right? Like staff turnover or, shows that are wildly successful, moments that are not, unexpected blessings, unexpected challenges, all that stuff happens. So having the ability to pivot, thinking on your feet is the fourth P if we've been tracking them. I haven't been tracking them as I should have. So professionalism was the first one. Programming was the second one. Planning was the third one. And now here we are on the fourth one, and that being the ability to pivot. That's the lesson that I think will be the one that if I had to write down one for the year, it's the value of pivoting. It's the value of the pivot. It's being able to bring in the resources, necessary resources, whether other thought leaders, whether it's you're reading about something, whether it's just sitting in that solitude that we talked about in during the first one of professionalism and saying, all right, what are people looking at you? What do they need from you in order to do their jobs better? Being able to pivot, it has helped out. One lesson I want to speak to was our August Wilson monologue competition. Every year, True Colors, for the last 10 years, True Colors has been putting on a national August Wilson monologue competition. It's been here in Atlanta for about longer than that. Don't want to say a number because I might be wrong. But but getting regions across the nation together, we've done just for a little around a decade or so. What's been nice about that is that we are bringing students from Greensboro, North Carolina, and Chicago, and Los Angeles, and San Diego, and Boston, and Dallas, and Seattle together in New York City to share the words of August Wilson on stage. These high school students are getting an opportunity to compete. They're going to go see shows on Broadway. They're having an amazing three-day experience. Well, of course, when COVID hit and New York City being the epicenter, there's no way that we could successfully and safely bring high school students to New York to have that experience. And one could imagine as a high school student how much of a bummer it is to be competing for an opportunity to go to New York and win in your region and then to be told, well, hey, actually you can't go to New York. I'm really thankful for my team that we were able to pivot to an online version where we're actually able to give the students more resources than we would have been otherwise. In the New York scenario, we would have only been able to give scholarships to the winners. Well, all seniors got scholarships as part of it. We normally are limited in who we can get to host or who we can get to come and do a workshop. Well, the world was open and we got all these Wilsonian warriors and soldiers to come in and talk to them. They got to hear from Russell Hornsby and Rosalind Ruff and Kenny Leon and Todd Kreitler and Costanza Romero Wilson, August Wilson's widow, and David Gallo and Stephen McKinley Henderson. And we were just able to be like, hey, y'all, here's the Zoom link. If you got time, come sit and talk. And we were able to talk about what is the life of a college student look like, especially one who wants to dedicate themselves to the arts. So we believe, we walk away believing, and we have some evidence from the students that we were able to really like give them a new experience that was not New York, right? It's not comparable in that way, but it was altogether unique and gave them something that they wouldn't have received otherwise. And that was the benefit of being part of the program all year long. So that ability just to like, okay, hey, we got punched in the mouth, right? Like everyone has a plan until you get punched in the mouth, right? Very sports saying, but I believe that's Tyson. Being able to shift, navigate, and pivot when that punch happens, I think has proved itself over the course of this year to be a really valuable trait of our organization and in a leadership style. But I think that's the one that's going to carry forward and say, all right, yes, I spent time thinking about my programming and planning on what current seasons and future seasons will look like. But man, having the ability, and I think I'm now considered in our recent budget how we leave space for pivoting in our budget. You all may have heard me say it here, and I wanted to say it again. Thanks to my leadership mentors, Jack Ruler, one being specifically here, a budget is a statement of your values. So if it's not in your budget, then you actually probably don't value it as an organization, as a person, or whatever. If you say that you value saving money, but you spending money like crazy and you're not saving anything in your budget, you're not putting money aside to save, you don't really value it. What we've had to do is that we've had to value pivoting, and we've tried to put that in our budget so that we do it. All right, y'all, I'm kind of wrapping up, but the last thing I want to do is that, you know, there's a pace for progress, and that is what's leading me to patience. See, all these P's are coming together. So we talked about professionalism, programming, planning, pivoting, and now this last one, patience. I'm giving you a couple other P's to remind people about the pace of progress and the pace for progress. You gotta breathe. You gotta slow down. You gotta take your time. In a world where there's so much instant gratification, and that so many of us are looking for the easy way out or the quick return on a short-term investment, that the thing that I've learned this year is that that's not the thing. That the seeds that you're planting are going to take time to grow, but that doesn't mean to abandon your drive. That doesn't mean to abandon what you're doing or how you're doing it. That just means that you got to just know in the back of your mind that it's going to happen. And I think all that stuff works together, the programming, the planning, the pivoting, and the pace. But it's just real helpful just to know that, man, like, all right, things are going to move at the speed of success. That if you put it out there and everyone is working in unison on that same goal, that when the stuff happens is when it happens. That you can't rush it, but that it's going to happen at the time that it's supposed to happen. And you just got to move with it. And that, you know, the investment that you made in your programming in November may not see benefits until a year later. And that's okay. And you got to learn to be okay with that. That doesn't mean that it wasn't a worthwhile pursuit, that what you spent time on, what you spent resources on, wasn't of value. Even if it comes later than what you expected. Say you did something in January and you expected it to come out in March, and it doesn't make it any less valuable if it actually materializes in June. That was just the time that it was supposed to happen. But you got to just relax and breathe and know that it's going to come together. You know, we talked about Marie and Rosetta. Hey, we set Marie and Rosetta, and we knew we wanted to do the show. We know we wanted to do it in the way that we wanted to do it. I would say last February of 2019 is when we started thinking about the show. We were hoping that it would materialize in June of 2020. Here we are now, almost in August of 2020, and it hasn't come to bear yet. But I'm hoping, well, I now know that whenever it does hit the stage, it'll be right the time that it was supposed to hit. So guys, that's really where I am, recognizing that I needed to do a better job in my professionalism, or how I show up every day, to be a brand ambassador for the organization, being somebody that our community could trust, that my board of directors could trust and want to work with, that my staff can put their trust in me, that I'm the right leader and not just someone who was identified for one thing but couldn't find their way to deliver, that I had to rise up to what I was being asked to do, and that meant changing my behaviors, changing my tendencies, and finding my way to be the best leader I can be. I had to up my professionalism in order to be an artistic leader. And that's one of the things I'm reflecting back in my 364 days. August 1, 2020 will make my 1-year anniversary as artistic director. The second thing, the second P is believing in programming. What you set out, what you know in your heart to be true as an artistic leader, dedicating yourself to that, asking for buy-in, encouraging people to join in on the vision and push in the same direction that you are to achieve the goal. That third thing is that plan. And one of the ways we can get people to understand the programming is to share the plan. I have been in my head all my life, I have just been like doing the calculations and not sharing my work. You know, like how, like, for those of you all who grew up in a different math era than what we're currently in, like, you could just be able to do the work. You could say, you know, 4 times 5 is 20. But now they, you know, they're asking you to show your work, right? Like, it's like, oh, that's slowing me down. Well, in leadership, and we talk a little bit about pace, we just talked about pace, and there's so much value in showing your work, sharing the plan, because by sharing the plan with other people, we were able to speed up the deliverables in many ways because everyone joined in on it and they found the ways that they could help me achieve those plans. So not everyone in the organization starting to row in the same direction. There's still a lot of room to go. You talk to my staff and know that, hey man, we still got a lot of work to do. But by sharing that plan, I think we got a lot closer than we would have had we not. The last thing is being able to pivot. Yeah, man, you get punched in that mouth and the plan doesn't go as to the T, to the letter. Being able to pivot, putting in your budget plan, the space to pivot. What are those contingencies? What's plan A, plan B? How do you move? What are the levers that you need in order to shift from one thing to the next? And how can you communicate? How can you build a culture of people who are willing to pivot when things don't go the way they want to? I'm really thankful for this year, especially with the circumstances around COVID, that we have upped our game and our ability to pivot. I was going to make another sports reference, but this is a theater podcast, so I'm not going to. And then the last thing where we just kind of, I throw all the P's at you, is that patience and just reminding yourself of the pace for progress, that it is not a sprint at all. That at times you will run fast, but there are also times that you are going to have to take it slow and that it's not going to go at the rate that you want it to, and that's okay. And that you just have to prepare yourself for that. You just have to know that when the things land, it'll be when it was supposed to happen. And that's been so crucial for me. And all those lessons are really just starting to come. It's just like hit ahead for me right now. And yeah, I just want to thank people for believing in me. It's crazy the level of growth that I think I've experienced in this year. And knowing that if every year the growth is like this, I'm excited for who I can be as a leader in a couple more years. But just thanks for everyone for loving me through it, encouraging me to be better, holding me to task. There's nothing like a community that's willing to support you through it and see your value and see your promise and push you towards that promise. Just shout out to everybody who's been there. Y'all, this one was intentionally short because I wanted to be able to share some of the thoughts and not belabor it. I didn't feel like I had to speak for an entire hour about it. I'm happy, and I probably will, as we go through our joy and pain season next year, talk a little bit more about, you know, how we got here in that first year. But if you have any questions, feel free to drop them in the comments. But I do want to just shift a little bit to talk about joy and pain and what you can expect from True Colors in my second season, but in the 18th anniversary season of True Colors. You know, this season is going to be unlike any that you've seen because we are going to deliver digital content. And that's going to be the work of the theater. Now, we hope that when we can come back and it's safe to come back into the theater, we're going to give you Marie and Rosetta first and foremost, right? And if there's still time within that fiscal year that runs from August 1 to July 31, we're going to try to get another show up. But just know that Marie and Rosetta is our show. We're going to close out that She Griots era, the She Griots theme with Marie and Rosetta, where we can do it. But what you can expect is just high-level digital content. You know, we've been slow with trying to get readings and things like that off the ground. For me, it's about artistic integrity. It doesn't feel like a True Colors show yet on Zoom. We don't have control over it the way we want to yet. But we're working hard on that to deliver you guys quality digital content that lives up to what you have come to expect from us at True Colors. So really look forward to that in the Joy and Pain season. Much like how we were doing 52 Weeks of Women, where we were celebrating She Griots, Black Women Storytellers, Women of Color, all season long. For the Joy and Pain season, every week, I'm going to be bringing you a moment of joy. So, you know, look forward to that, where we're just, you know, your weekly moment of joy. So we're going to spend each week just trying to figure out, hey, y'all, there's so much that we can feel bad about and feel sad about. But if we can pivot our energies away from what's plaguing us and causing us pain to celebrating and luxuriating in joy, we're going to try to do that for you guys every week moving forward. So I'm very excited by that. You know, you will see over this year how True Colors has just expanded our work to be a better organization. We're going to bring on a couple of different staff people. We're really excited that our board has set a path that is going to allow us to add some new staff members to help us prepare the organization for its future. You know, soon and very soon, we're going to be looking towards our 20th anniversary season. We've been planning for it, one of those P's. We've been planning for our 20th anniversary season for a couple of years now, and we're on pace for that. And we're just going to continue just to do the work. So, you know, look to see several announcements for us as we are moving forward. And the last thing that I want to leave you guys with, just a little bit of joy as we go into our first week of joy. The press release will come out next week. But the thing that causes me joy and that I'm looking forward to going into my 367th day. In my first year, I'm thankful to have that extra day, the extra leap year. Since this was a leap year, I got that extra day. So my first year will be 366 days. But on day 367, the thing that I'm excited about sharing is that True Colors received a $50,000 grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. It's part of their CARES relief package to help us support some of that digital content that we'll be doing. So that'll be the first joy thing that we celebrate that, you know, year two, year 18 at True Colors will be supported in that way by the NEA, but that, you know, the future is being set and established and that we just continue on. So again, y'all, thanks for rocking with us all 19 weeks. It's been quite an amazing journey this year of growth for myself, and hopefully that's translated into some amazing things for the company. And we hope that those of you all who are part of the True Colors family, all of you all who are listening are part of the True Colors family, that you're proud of the work that the organization has done and that we'll continue to do. So thanks for rocking with us. I'll be back next week to kick off our Joy and Pain season. Shout out to Tanya and Brittany for last week's session. It was amazing. It was so powerful to watch. I had to be away. I was giving a speech at the same time as the podcast. But as soon as my speech was over, I was able to jump on the podcast and listen to the last several minutes of the podcast. And those women, those two dynamic She Griots themselves, were able just to kick it. And I was nervous that I wasn't going to get my job back. But I'm thankful that they ceded control of the podcast back over to me and that I'm able to be your host once again. You know, continue to look forward, just amazing guests as we talk about just, hey, you know, joy. Let's find joy in the midst of all of this next year. So, all right, y'all. Here it is. Thank you very much. I'm going to go back and listen to Representative Lewis's funeral happening here in Atlanta. He reminds us to get in good trouble. He reminds us the power of voting, the power of standing up for something that you believe in. So for those of you all who want to find ways to honor him and his legacy, register to vote, get your friends to register to vote. Let's hold people accountable for doing right by us. And I think that's one of the things that we can find some joy in. So come November, we can have a lot of joy if we do our parts here in late July and August. And that's, maintain the vote. Register, get other people registered. Let's try to dismantle voter suppression as much as possible. And I think that's what Representative Lewis means to me. He is someone who embodied the true values of leadership and the things that I'm learning in my first year. His life is definitely part of that first year learning curve, and trying to find more ways to embody his spirit. All right, I think I've said bye about 4 or 5 times, y'all. I just miss y'all. I miss talking to y'all. I've been a week off, so I miss talking to y'all. Anyway, we'll be back next Thursday. Be well. Get in good trouble. See y'all later. Bye-bye.